You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com. You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Round here, we got them boys selling dope in the Benji. Round here, in the got the boys selling dope in the Bentley right here. Yeah, bump them, bump them. I forget what the account's called. Maybe I'll throw it on the screen, shout him out. But it's this Instagram account, and I've been really messing with the accounts that post, like they're dedicated to posting like throwback hip hop, and one of them's like an Atlanta hip hop page, and let me tell you, putting your boy on to some classics that I didn't even know existed. And then there's another page too. It's called like Lil Tunchi Classics. Just daily posts about Lil Wayne. Throwback songs, mixtape songs. I went on datpiff.com today just to see what's going on over there. I remember Datpiff used to have an app. And it was clunky. It was clunky. But it was cool because it's Datpiff. You understand? I think a lot of people understand the significance of Datpiff from, let me think. I used it a lot when I was 13, 14, and I'm 28 now. So we're talking like 2010, 2011, 2012. Onward, but the era with no ceilings, all of the dedications, even like Meek Millie and Dream Chasers 2, you know, that was a Datpiff deal back in the day. Even when I was in high school playing football at Henry Clay High School in Lexington, Kentucky, I don't know if it was Dream Chasers 3, but I remember we used to always listen to that song before the game. Feel like a rich party. I'm really ballin'. Babe, just got him calling. Can't really call him. My rollie flooded like New Orleans. Just like New Orleans. Ain't talking money. What you talking? Buddy, what you talking? My bitch, you ain't speaking. You ain't talking money. Don't need to talk to me if you ain't talking money. Ain't shit a life free, who we talking money? And then he says something about Benjis. They talking to me. So that was a hell of a track. But anyways, I went to datpiff.com today. And they said we're trying to like modernize this whole thing, and basically we don't have a website anymore, and so you need to go to like archive.org, and went on there, and all the mixtapes, most of them that I was looking for, were still there. Downloaded the Drought 3 by Young Tunchi, Lil Weezy, Louisiana Wayne, and let me tell you, I've still got some listening to do through the archives. First song on that mixtape, doot, 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 This is why I'm hot. That song. But it was Wayne rapping on it. It was only titled intro. That's the beauty of these mixtapes, is that they don't, at least Lil Wayne didn't always make it easy. He did sometimes, but he didn't always make it easy for you to just look at the mixtape without listening to it and know, oh, okay, that's the he's rapping on the This Is Why I'm Hot beat, because it just said intro. And then the second track is called I'm Blooded. And I'm blooded. Ba-na-na-na. Hotties on the table, 20s on the floor. Bad bitches in my show, and I love it. Yeah! And I love it. Ba-na-na-na-na-na. Do-dang. Do-dang. Ba-dum. Ba-na-na-na-na. Yeah, so he did that one, and it was called I'm Blooded, and I wouldn't have known that it was the beat from I Love It by Young Jeezy, formerly Young Jeezy, now Jeezy. He ain't young no mo. I wouldn't have known until I clicked on it. Okay, let's get serious here. Somebody commented on the YouTube, they said this intro song fire, and you know what? Kind of agree. Wish it could be some gangster hip hop, but this is copyright free. Welcome to the Debris Show, episode 54. Shout out to the Sanford Bulldogs. That was my number in college. Special episode. Every episode's special. Okay. So let's look at things. Let's look at the state of things. I know it's been a while since we've done this. Man, honestly, I just had to get back to writing the last couple weeks. Just writing in a journal, you know. I opened my journal on Saturday and I realized I hadn't written anything in it since March 18th. Now listen here. Listen, hell, I know that consciousness can become like a pool pump. Stay with me. You got a pool out back. Let's say you live in a desert. There's a lot of wind sometimes. Come on up. There's a lot of wind sometimes. There's a lot of sometimes, like it stormed the other week. It was a big mail storm, you know what I mean? Heavy wind. All that. And day after the storm, the pool is got a lot of shit in it. And that's why you got a pool pump. Right, you got a vacuum, and it takes all the shit that goes in the pool that ain't supposed to be there. It filters it out. So I believe in terms of consciousness, journaling can serve the same purpose as a pool pump. All the non-productive thoughts, all the non-productive emotions, you're able to just kind of flush it like a big piece of feces getting flushed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at cinfin.com.
Down the toilet. It's the same thing. It's a very crass aphorism, but I believe it might be helpful. And so last couple of weeks for me, it's just like I've shown up to these shoots, started rolling the camera, and just being a tad critical of myself, I guess. So it's been good to kind of get back into equilibrium and be here with you guys today. Let's take a look here at what we got today. There's been a lot going on. I know we got the NFL draft coming up. The market is schizophrenic as could be. There's just a lot of good discussions to be had. But the first thing I want to bring up today is something that I'm looking at on my Twitter feed right now. And it's a tweet from Buffalo Wild Wings. It says, "All you can eat wings and fries starts tomorrow. The boneless are $19.99. The traditional are $24.99. And somebody quote tweeted this, and they said, "Can an economist explain why boneless is cheaper?" Let's look into the replies here. I think I have my answer, but let's take a look. No bones equals no bon appetit, and bon appetit costs extra. Somebody else says, "Boneless wings are typically just chicken breasts. You can make several wings out of the breasts of a chicken, but a restaurant can only make 4 bone-in wings from one chicken. 2 drums, 2 flats." That's a really good explanation. That's better than I could have put it, probably. But, you know, I always kind of wondered that. I think I understood, but not to that magnitude, because I just don't think... I don't think that boneless wings should be called boneless wings. I think boneless wings should be called chicken nuggets with your choice of, tossed in your choice of sauce, right? So that's what they are. They're nuggets. Honestly, bro, I'm 28. At this point in life, if I've got a buddy that who's a man that prefers boneless wings, hey, understand football, right? Hey, understand Spider 2Y Banana. Hey, what's Tampa 2? What does that mean? Okay. Is Josh Allen an elite quarterback? Hey, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just got opinions about wings, man. It's like, I think the coolest thing you can do, man, is when you're courting a new woman, you got to, let's say you guys are out on a date somewhere eating. I know a lot of men have their qualms about eating in front of ladies. Dude, just send it. She either likes you or she don't. Either way, right? So what I like to do, man, and this will tell me all I need to know. If I'm on a date and the place offers wings, hey, strap in, bitch. You know what I'm talking about? I'm taking the flats, and I'm pushing them all the way down like an umbrella. I'm going to dip them in blue cheese, not ranch. God damn it. Blue cheese. And I'm going to take that thing. I'm going to clean it in one bite. See what you think about that. I would prefer to have some alcohol wipes on the scene. That would be tremendous. But guess what? Hey, we go back to the crib to have drinks. And you see my fingers got a little bit of that honey barbecue left on them. It stayed there for a reason. Don't waste it. You know what I mean? With these, I just feel like, I don't know. I was talking to a woman about this the other day. I just feel like men, for some reason, feel like their options are very limited as it regards to romantic partners. I have to make sure that I remember that everyone's situation is different, but also, like, not so much. It's hard with the internet. It's especially when most of the ladies that are good looking are, you know, they'll let you know about it on Instagram. And there's no problem with that. If I was a good looking lady, I might do the same thing. But I just feel like, back to the topic of conversation here, topic of monologue here, I feel like a lot of men these days, my age, they feel as if their options are more limited than they actually are. They feel like every woman they get in front of that is, you know, a 7 or higher is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I just think that mentality is kind of a push away for ladies. I could be wrong. I don't think I am. Just trying to speak truth here. But people are not dumb. They can smell a little bit of desperation. And it's funny. I feel like if there's a fella and he's on a date and he's desperate to close the deal, however you see a deal getting closed looking like, he's kind of desperate to close the deal. And circumstantially, that might be very valid. They might not have, they might not have damn sat across a woman that looked like.
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
I get for months or years. Circumstantially, it's valid. Internally, it's not valid, because you have all the power to look inward and say, okay, why am I having these feelings of desperation? Why do I get excruciatingly nervous every time I go on a date? I just think that a lot of men, they get tunnel vision. And they're kind of coming from a scarcity mindset as opposed to, hey, this is a big world, a lot of smells, a lot of stuff out there, a lot of women out there, a lot of humans out there and saying, okay, whatever's supposed to happen here will happen, and I can just let go and be me. Not have to, damn, I definitely had these damn moments, man. I had one like 2-3 weeks ago where I was sitting with a lady and I laughed or something, and it's not rocket blew out of my nose. It was very obvious. So, hey, guess what I did? I wiped it off with my hand. And even more beat, I pointed it out. I said, well, hell, it's not rocket right there. And she, dude, she didn't say nothing. She started to, whatever we were talking about before again. I was like, fuck. This is the way I'm going to go out? Hey, I did it like a G. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's counterintuitive, but like, you know, I don't care. Sometimes I almost look for things to say that will, like that, I feel like that'll kind of get a reaction just to kind of see like where you at. Hey, what are you sitting here for? What you trying to achieve here? All right. So, if you're a guy and you like boneless wings over traditional, yeah, you probably shouldn't watch this podcast, man. Probably need to go watch some film. You know what I mean? That's just how I see it. What we got coming up here? Okay. Men who have overcome depression, what is your secret? This is a tweet from Dear Self. God damn. I got to wear these sunglasses on this podcast. I do think they look, you know, cool and stuff. But, I mean, god damn. Even with these sunglasses on, man, these light panels all around me. Whew, I feel like my eyes get real, real worn out. I got these blue light blocker glasses, and we've been streaming every night, man, on YouTube, building a nice little community, people popping in. It's really fun to see things grow that way. But I wear some like blue light blocker glasses, and they got this like distinct little look to them. Maybe I'll go grab them. So the people on the stream, They'll see these glasses right here. Oh, yeah. That feels better on my eyes already, dude. But I wear these on my streams because I game at night before bed. And these keep the blue light out so that, you know, a bunch of video games ain't affecting my sleep and what have you. So I got people in chat saying, I love your glasses. I love your sunglasses. I'm like, bitch, you ain't no damn sunglasses, boy. Ain't no damn sunglasses. I'm trying to optimize my health. You know what I'm saying? Dude, I actually might keep these on because this is way easier on my eyes for some reason. Good pull. Okay, so let's lock in. Men who have overcome depression, what is your secret? Let's go to the thread. Let's go into the thread, see what people say. This is from Shub of Jesus Christ, man. Okay. I'll be real with you, bro. There was a time I couldn't get out of bed. The weight on my chest wasn't physical, but it felt like I was being crushed. I smiled in public, but cried in silence. I was surrounded by people, yet drowning alone. Then one day, I got sick of my own story. I'm sick of being the victim. I'm sick of waiting for someone to save me. So I changed one thing, just one. I started walking every morning with no phone, just me. Then I started lifting, then journaling, then praying, then building. No, it wasn't magic, it was war. And every day, I still fight. But now I fight for me, not against me. That's how I beat depression. Not with a miracle, but with movement. And if you're reading this, You're still in the game. Don't you dare quit now. It's pretty good. Same guy said something else. Seems like he's kind of spitting. I can't pronounce his damn name. It looks like an Indian name. That's typically the culprit. Men who have beaten depression didn't find magic. They became the weapon. They stopped waiting to be saved. They got up. They showed up. Even when their soul felt 6 feet deep. Their secrets. 1. Pain is fuel. They turned heartbreak into hunger. 2. Discipline over dopamine. Gym over junk. Purpose over pity. These are kind of buzzy little words, but I get what he's saying. 3. Faith and focus. They prayed harder, moved smarter. This could also, I think meditation could also go into this category. That's something that's helped me tremendously. 4. Isolation turned into incubation. Alone? No. Building in silence. That's a good frame. 5. Service to others. Helping another man gave their struggle meaning. They didn't heal because it got easier. They healed because they got stronger. Ruthless, relentless, reborn, not survivors, warriors. And I like that word, ruthless. When you're talking about depression in men, especially men our age these days, it's at an all-time high. You know, you hear about suicides. A lot of the time, man, it's not the ladies that are killing themselves. It's the guys. And the thing about that is, like, guys don't want to, they don't want to tell you that they're struggling. Because then if the conversation expands and you get real, then you kind of feel like a weight on somebody else if it's your boy. And that's why I think a lot of male relationships with women go south, because the man's probably not really doing these things that we just talked about, and he feels more comfortable sharing these traumas, these experiences, these things that are weighing on him with the lady. And sometimes the lady doesn't have the capacity herself to handle all the darkness that has not been, dare I say, worked through on the male side. There's a lot of tools out there. It's almost like somebody's financial life. I have prospects or clients coming to me. They say, Clark, there's all these options in the stock market, in bonds, in mutual funds, private investments, alternative investments. I'm overwhelmed. What do I do? Typically, I'll say to them, 1, we got to create a plan. We got to create a written roadmap to be our North Star to guide us to where you want to get financially. That's the first step. Then from there, when we have that foundation of the house built, we're able to reverse engineer what doesn't work for you. And that typically eliminates the overwhelm by about 95%. Because as many products out there that there are in the financial world, stay with me, there's only a few that specifically work for a certain person. So I think in terms of a man in his 20s taking care of himself, there's a lot of options out there, but there's only a few that work for you. And so the tough part about that is, and this guy Shivani, whatever, that's what this guy was touching on. You gotta just, to beat, I don't know if it's the right word, to beat a mental health issue. You know, I've dealt with a lot of this stuff myself. It's like, I don't know. You got to, 1, you got to start, right? That's if I can liken the male mental health struggle right now to what I do, which is being a financial advisor for people. 90 as an advisor, 95% of the people that come to me, 98% of the people that come to me when we first start talking, they don't have a plan. They don't know what works for them. And you still, most of the time, got to convince them, like, hey, this is a change worth making. It's the most wild shit you could ever fathom. But I don't think it's too different from men's mental health. But the first step is got to create a plan. You got to, as a man, you got to understand. I feel this. And like, I'm not talking from a fucking soapbox, by the way. I'm talking through this in real time, hoping that maybe it helps someone. Like, you got to have your North Star, I think. You gotta understand what lights you up. You gotta think on what put you here. Well, maybe not what put you here, but why you could be here. And that's a big, bad question that could maybe take years for someone to answer. So I'm not just saying, oh, just go do that, you'll be good. Like, that's just the first step, and that might take years. Listen, nothing worth having is easy. It's just a fact. Nothing worth having is easy. And I would argue that self-acceptance, self-love, and purpose are three of the most powerful things one can attain. So it's not going to be fucking easy. People are like, well, I want it to be easy. It's like, eh, it's not reality. You can want all day, tell yourself a story all day. But it's just not going to be easy, but it is doable. I think it is doable. Circumstances aside, like, circumstances, it's just a game of chance. Think about a game of blackjack, man. Like, yes, there are some world-class blackjack players out there that are able to do well regardless of the weather, but like, most of them don't. Right, and when I say weather, I mean like the cards you're dealt. You can't control that. You can't control the cards you're dealt. You can control, excuse me, how you navigate what you're dealt. Damn kombucha. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. I guess you gotta want to help yourself. A lot of people get comfortable with their own story, with their own identity of themselves. A lot of people get comfortable with that, even if the story they're telling themselves is not real, even if the story they're telling themselves is not only not real, but not beneficial to them. Becoming attached to an identity. I've been there before so many times. Like, it's almost like the God, whoever, kept putting the chance to learn that lesson in front of me until I learned it. You know, whether that was with not being a football player anymore or not working in the NFL anymore. Those were two big identity crises for me in my life, because once I lost those, I was like, what am I? Like, football is my life. I'm not a part of it anymore. Dude, like, what is life then? It's like, well, you can kind of, those moments are kind of opportunities for you to say, okay, here's what I really stand for. I really, you know, stand for X, Y, and Z. I really stand for clarity. I really stand for peace or whatever it is. You stand for. But I think values are really important. I think getting clear on what you value, why you value it. And then that's kind of your mental health financial plan, if you will. Okay, I value these things. Why do I value them? Okay, I understand why I value them. What do I do in my day-to-day life that shows I value these things. Why do I do X, Y, and Z every day? I don't know if I answered the question. You know, men who have overcome depression, what's your secret? Getting clear on for me, it was getting clear on values, getting clear on why I valued those things, finding small committed actions that I could take every day to reaffirm the things that I value. And the hardest part about that too is that values, they can change over time based on experience, right? So it's almost like you got to have like a check-in with yourself too. And there's a lot of ways to do that. There's writing, there's therapy, taking walks. I mean, hell, anyway, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here. Let's see what else we got. Okay. The Bengals and Hamilton County are set to approve an agreement that will work toward an $830 million stadium.
If you're an RIA, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.
Reservation finalized by July 2029. I saw this and I said, my initial reaction was, thank God. But now I'm thinking, like, this was always going to happen. All the hemming and hawing about the Bengals leaving Cincinnati. There's just no way that would happen. Number one, with the ownership family. That's where they've always been, Cincinnati. And Lord knows that goddamn ownership group doesn't want to change a damn thing ever. So why in the hell would they change where they live to run their football team, however the hell they run it? So it's easy to say now, but I'm not surprised that they came to a deal. I bet Hamilton County was just like, hey, you guys are assholes. Like, stop being this way. I bet they're really... I don't know. I don't want to throw opinions out there about things I don't know about. Okay. Let me see what else we got. Oh, this is fun.
Imagine playing in an AAU basketball game and your opponent does this. Then he proceeds to bury the shot and then he gets back on defense like this. Or your opponent throws down a dunk, takes someone's phone from the crowd, runs down the court and plays defense with that phone in his hand, and then comes back on offense to score with the phone still in his hand before giving it
smooth
back.
Layup.
Let me introduce you to Not So Air Jordan's Gremlin University, the AAU basketball squad that consists
Name's fire.
Of the biggest trolls on the planet. Nothing could have prepared me for the amount of trolling that Not So Air Jordan's Gremlin University did at the Circuit League duel in DFW. There were definitely a few guys that really stood out to me in this one. Landon Verdon was dancing like this before driving to the rim, doing this to the ball before making a triple, and even making one-legged threes that led to him doing sellies like
fire.
This. Justin Reed Jr. was the guy who took someone's phone after dunking, which has to be my favorite moment of this whole game. But the real star of the show was future D1 combo guard Jalen Haynes. Jalen Haynes has found a unique combination trolling ability, which was on full display in this game. His insane 46-point outing is what ultimately led Gremlin University to coming out of this game
with a final score. Damn, so they're trolling and whipping ass too. I mean, here, I think, especially sport like basketball, maybe even like golf, dude. Anything with touch, finesse, the receiver position in football, I'd argue, is a very similar part of the brain that's getting used. Quarterback position, yes, you got the touch, but you got a lot more you got to think about and worry about. So I don't know if you could, you know, some quarterbacks, they make it work. But all that to say, I feel like these kids play so well because they feel comfortable having fun and being themselves. Sounded so cliche, but I think there is merit to that idea. I think the looser you are in a touch-oriented sport like basketball, golf, the looser you keep yourself, whatever you got to do, whether it's jigging around, you know, then a little shaky bake, you know, feel like you're going to play better. These kids are obviously freaking good, too. You know what I mean? What else do we got? Maybe I'll go into the TikToks, if I can even get in here. What do I got saved on here? Anything? Oh, yeah. We got a little bit.
Man, they booted my shit, man. I got a motherfucking pottery class to go to. Luckily, a nigga got the scooter on standby.
Hell yeah. That boy headed over to pottery right quick, man. Hey. Gotta have them damn things in your life to make you happy, man. Even if you're a young black man and you like pottery. You know what I'm saying? Hey, and he wasn't playing around either. His shit got booted. He said, fuck it. I got the scooter on standby. And he made it happen. That boy made it happen. Made it work. Because he was trying to get to pottery. That's what I'm talking about. Them damn male values. Look. Hey, maybe you value making shit. That could be a value. Maybe you value creativity. I know I do, or else I wouldn't do this damn show. And so that was having that scooter on standby for the boy, that was a small committed action towards saying, hey, I value making stuff. So even though my car damn booted up, you know what I'm talking about, I got the scooter on standby. And I'm going to get the pottery. And he made it work. What do we got here, man? Let's see here. Oh, yeah. That boy don't even have to do no singing. He just stand up there with the fan in his face like such. You know what I mean? God damn. That boy, he probably got in the concert. I mean, he seems like a small-time band. I'm sure they don't have a huge team behind him. But my boy at the lead singer right there, he probably makes sure to be on the same page with the stage crew and said, hey, blood. Need that fan right here. Need that spotlight right there. So that way, my damn fluffy cotton locks, these white gray cotton looking locks. That boy had to have shampooed his shit to the gills every day, boy. That's how my hair start to be looking if I shampoo it every day. Real puffy, kind of like cotton, you know what I'm saying? But like, I don't know. I don't think I'd want to run my finger through that blood's hair. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't seem like something that would interest me. But it's blowing in the wind, and he ain't even got to drop a bar, dude. He's just got that presence on him. He's just got that aura on him. Some people would call that. Young folks would call it. Aura farming. Someone made fun of me one time on YouTube for the way I said aura. They spelled it A-R-R-A. Do I say aura? Aura? Aura ring? Because they got that. I got the whoop, but they got the. They got the damn rings too, and that's O-U-R-A. Aura ring. So what is A-U-R-A? Still aura. I think it's aura. Aura. I don't know, dude. Let me think here. Okay, this is a good one.
Come give me all your money before you walk away. Cause I'm from a small town, a southern
drawdown. This is in Santa Monica. Digging a hips, take a trip, buddy. Tell me I'm a liar. I'm in a fire. Behind the tires. That was nice. Good boy, talented, man. Close it out. Close her on out. Take a trip, buddy. Tell me I'm a liar. Yeah, a cappella.
Kicking up some dust behind the tires. It's cliche, but hey, just take it from me. It's still going down in the country.
Get him a record deal, man. Get him a damn record deal. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what he was doing. He was kind of doing that Post Malone thing where I'm trying to think of an example so I could do it. Where the voice is kind of shaking, but it sounds good. You know what I'm talking about? Ooh, I fall apart. Yeah, like that. Ooh. You find that sometimes. I think there's like a old country influence to that because like I hear some Hank Williams Sr. songs sometimes where he's kind of it's like that yodeling sound and it's like a heartbreak music. I'm trying to think of another song on the spot. There's plenty of them where people use that. This kombucha got me burping, dude. Where people use that, you know, I fall apart is one of them. I got a F1 trillion limousine. Yeah, I do. Shit like that. I feel like that kid was kind of using a little bit of that. I don't even know what you would call that, but anybody who's on a country scene would be able to give me a word for it. But adding your own spice on it. Cause I'm from a small town, southern draw crown. I like to say we're sipping beer, drinking clear on a Friday night. It's really we're sipping clear, drinking beer. The responsible, you know, version of it. But I kind of like to make it a little irresponsible. You know what I'm saying? We're sipping beer and we're drinking clear. We're drinking Everclear. Beer's just an appetizer. No, I hate alcohol. I don't like the taste. I don't like what it does to my liver. I just enjoy a little bit of debauchery from afar. You won't ever see me sipping beer, drinking clear. You might not even see me sip clear, drink beer. You know, I just want a toke of smoke, man. Give me a toke of smoke. Maybe a little fungal medicine. And we're rolling. I can have a good time with drunkest of them if I got my fungal medicine and a little bit of herb to tap on when I need it. I can't drink alcohol right now. I got some blood work done a couple weeks ago, and my doc said, hey, man, you got elevated enzymes in the liver. You do any drinking? I said, not really. He said, well, you're going to have to go off the drink for a month till we can get you cleared out, make some changes, and take the blood again. So I believe I'm going to do that tomorrow. Boy, put me on some liver supplements, and we'll see. I kind of like having an excuse to not drink. I kind of enjoy that because there's, I just don't, the fact that there's so much peer pressure in social situations about whether you drink or don't drink, I think that is evidence enough to say, okay, this drinking alcohol on a regular basis thing is not something that an optimal human does. And I know a lot of people are like, well, I like it and I don't care if it makes me less optimal. Hey, that's perfect. You're living your truth. I just know my truth is I don't like the taste. I don't like how it makes me feel, even during the fact. And I definitely don't like that when you really turn it on, you basically got to pay for it with the day after. I like the taste. I do like the taste of beer, but I've been sipping on O'Doul's lately, man. Just what it is. I'm not going to be a hater of somebody that enjoys drinking. I'm not going to be in your gills every 3 seconds saying, hey, you know, that's bad for you. I'm not even going subconsciously or passive aggressively make friends feel bad. I'm going to be around some dear childhood friends this weekend. I know they're going to have some beverages, but who am I to say, hey, you know that alcohol drains all the ATP energy production in your cells and it dehydrates you? Did you know that alcohol is really only here from an evolutionary perspective because it's a social lubricant? Shouldn't you know how to lubricate social interactions on your own? You know what I mean? I don't know. I am kind of being a hater now. But I'll tell you this, man. I went clubbing with the boys a couple weeks ago in Tampa. Went out to the bars and stuff. Sober. I mean, I was token, you know, and had some fungal medicine. But I stayed out till the latest. John stayed out that night, and I had a great time. Now, I will say, if I go to bed past midnight, you might as well have me hung over the next. Oh, yeah. Look at that man. Hey, them notes is coming from God, dude. Look at his face. Look at his mannerism. Made him feel something right there. Yeah, Lord. You got them old B.B. King songs where it's recorded live and you got the black ladies in the crowd going, yeah, yeah. So fire, bro. So fire. I love music like that. It's just, it comes directly from the soul. Damn, we got a lot of shit today. We got, I might save some of this shit for the next episode if I'm being real, real, real.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
I'm trying to think if there's anything we left out. I mean, we just kind of had a silly ass time today. I mean, I know we're 52 minutes in. We're just having fun with it. Dude, here's the thing too. I was thinking about this earlier. You know how sometimes, even if you, like, for instance, you're an NFL fan, you follow the game of football, sometimes you still have those off-season moves that elude you. It's less common in football because there's, like, I don't know why it is. You know, in baseball, there's so many games, it's hard to follow. And there's so many player moves for some reason, it's hard to follow. It's got to have something to do with cash. But I saw someone on Twitter today. It was like New England Patriots receiver Stephon Diggs. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I'm a football guy, right? I eat traditional wings, right? Did I not know this? Sure enough, Google Machine confirmed it. Happened on like March 28th or something. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, what kind of fit is Stephon Diggs going to be with Mike Vrabel? Because if you look at it, it's like Mike Vrabel's got a way of doing things. And then very clearly, Stephon Diggs has got a way of doing things. That organization is rebuilding right now. Young quarterback, not sure of exactly what he can do based on circumstances of his rookie year. Are Diggs and Vrabel going to be a good fit? You know, my logical brain says no, but a lot of times my worst takes in sports that have played out the exact opposite of how I saw them playing out were from my logical brain. So counterintuitively, how about I come out with this take? Mike Vrabel and Stephon Diggs should work swimmingly together. We just got to get quarterback play figured out, right? I still see Joe Milton, and I think he got traded. I can't remember where. Let's confirm that. I need a producer up in here. Yeah, he headed to Dallas. They traded him. Guy's got, here's the thing. If you look at a guy like Joe Milton as a stock, he got all this hype around him from the way he played in garbage time last year. I am still a huge believer of Joe Milton. I believe the guy deserves reps in game, and I think he could be a game-changing quarterback. The New England Patriots seem to be all in on Drake May. And based on what I've seen out of Drake May's rookie season, based on Drake May's production in his rookie season, how he came up in certain moments, there's just not enough there for me to say he's the guy or he's not the guy. And I think it's the same in the New England Patriots camp. I think they just took him so high. It's kind of one of those situations where you kind of got to die on that hill and see how his career plays out. But I think the Patriots will be a really, really interesting program to follow for this 2025-26 season. I just don't know if there's much more going on in football right now other than the draft. The Bengals, they're taking the 17th pick. There's a lot of speculation on what direction the Bengals are going to take things with that pick. Do you add an edge player? Do you add an interior D lineman? Do you add a safety? Do you add a corner? Do you add a linebacker? Do you add guards? I think we got the tackle position figured out. I think we still got Orlando Brown on the left and Amarius Mims on the right. But other than those two cats, offensive line is abysmal. The interior D line could still use work. They got that TJ Slayton guy from Green Bay to come in and fill one of the interior D line spots. We'll see how he works out. Sheldon Rankins was an absolute disaster. He's headed back to Houston. To Houston. You know, you obviously still got B.J. Hill. Who knows if Trey Hendrickson's going to get traded on draft night or not. And draft night actually might happen before this episode is dropped. So, you know, we will see. You will probably see before this episode hits the air. But you could add an edge player like Jihad Campbell out of Alabama. You could add a guard like Tate Rutledge out of Georgia to be back next to his buddy and college teammate, Amarius Mims. Our safety room is young. Geno Stone is now the oldest safety in the safety room for Cincinnati, and I don't know how the guy still has a job. I don't get it. But I hope he proves me wrong. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to see the Bengals crash and burn. I don't want to see the Bengals squander Joe Burrow's prime years, T. Higgins' prime years, Ja'Marr Chase's prime years. These are Hall of Fame players you're talking about. They are. So I'm kind of locked in on what the Bengals do in that 17 spot in the first round in the draft coming up. Because it is pivotal. I'm telling you. And I think a lot of Bengals fans know this. It is pivotal that we nail this draft. It is pivotal. There's no way around it. We didn't make that many moves in free agency. Duke Tobin came out to a press conference, the Bengals' de facto GM. He doesn't even have the real title. That's the way these organizations run. There's got to be something in the water in Central Kentucky and Southern Ohio that just, it's like complacent water. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean to be a hater. Nepotism water. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck. But I don't know. You got Al Golden at the defensive coordinator spot now, and Duke Tobin was talking about how Al Golden has been crystal clear on what his vision is for this defense and what pieces we need in order to achieve that vision. Zach Taylor comes out and says, yeah, hey, we need a championship-level defense to be a championship-level team. Hey, no shit, bud. Hey. Try to work on tackling. Try to work on fitting. Try to work on getting your linebackers to fit right. Try to work on helping your interior guys on the D-line not get pushed back every play. Try to help your safeties learn how to fill alleys while also not busting coverage, dude. I don't know. Football's a hell of a game. It's a fine art. Where are we at for time? God dang. We cruised through this one, man. And there might still be more to come. I'm just kind of thinking of things in real time that might be beneficial for you listeners out there. I'm telling you, man, we've been going live every night, playing Madden, playing NCAA, and people pop in the chat on YouTube. Somebody from Scotland, two separate people from Scotland popped into the chat two consecutive nights to say, this sport is boring. American football is ass. And I disagree, but I think it's pretty cool that we can commune somewhere like a YouTube chat to talk about how we see things. Connectedness, I guess, is what I'm talking about. Helps me remember that, hey, not everybody in the world has the luxury of knowing and loving our great sport. Looks like the Reds are back to 500. That's good. They beat the Orioles 24-2. Beat Baltimore 24-2 on Easter. Ellie De La Cruz made a hell of a catch. Let's take a look at it here. I love that kid.
This Baltimore crowd is in stunned astonishment, and there's a smattering of clapping from folks clad in orange at that wizardry.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Listen, Joe Burrow, Ellie De La Cruz, two gentlemen that the city of Cincinnati must protect at all costs. I've already paid Joey B. Cincinnati Reds, I swear to God, if you don't pay Ellie, I will hire five of my meanest killers to jump on an American Airlines flight and come down or up or over northeast from Arizona to Cincinnati, Ohio, to come give you a Spanish talking to about why we let Ellie De La Cruz ever leave our great city. He must be protected. He is one of the lights of my life, Ellie De La Cruz. I got to get a TV plan so that I can start watching the Reds every game. Because I did something stupid with my, I had a really good setup. I had a TV plan that was $25 a month. Kind of sketch. Didn't recognize that they were who they were when they were charging my bank account. Went and disputed it. And so now I'm in the market for another TV provider with all the games, all the happenings, all the movies for just $19.99 a month. That's what I'm looking for. And I think I've found some. Let's look. I mean, just there's definitely stuff I've missed. It's been a minute since we had an episode. I can't believe the delusion of Colorado retiring Shedeur Sanders' jersey, bro. I cannot believe it. Travis Hunter, I think the guy is going to go on to be a Hall of Fame football player, so I can kind of understand that. But even that is very preemptive. Maybe retire it after he's gotten like four or five All Pros, an MVP. You know, like the University of Louisville, I'm pretty sure they retired Lamar Jackson's jersey. Valid, warranted, earned. Even in college, Lamar Jackson won a Heisman. And I guess Travis Hunter won the Heisman, but Shedeur Sanders didn't. And also, his dad's the coach. Listen, I know it's easy to hate on Colorado. It's easy to hate on Coach Prime and all them. I really wanted to get behind them. I really did. Because I do think there is something to like about the brashness, the confidence, the marketing savvy of Coach Prime and what he's done with that program. But also, like, hey, like, let's, you know, we don't need to be wearing earrings at practice. You follow me? We don't need to be worried about, hey, you know, I got to get more pass attempts to meet this certain record, this individual accolade. Like, get all that out of the football, man. It's about the fucking team. It's about a group of guys working towards the same goal. That's what football's about. It's not about fucking me. Okay? It's not, you know, it's like, I want the ball. I want to be quarterback. What about the damn team? What about the damn team? It's about the team. You know, like, we don't have, like, I don't know. I think if you retired Travis Hunter's jersey at Colorado, I could live with that. But Sanders, I mean, dude. The guy, like, I don't see him being a successful pro. I just don't. And I hope in 3 to 5 years, when this podcast is huge and when Shedeur Sanders has proved me wrong, that they pull this clip and they say, hey, Duke Dog was wrong about Shedeur Sanders. They should have retired his jersey at Colorado. I hope that happens. But do I think it's going to happen? Absolutely not. I think the guy's going to be a journeyman backup. That's what I think about Shedeur Sanders, just based on the skill set, the film, the level of play against good competition. And they didn't even really, I mean, man, I could go on and on about that. But I think you guys get the point, right? Pretty cool. Also, Ken Griffey Jr. in retirement. He was at the Masters this year as a credentialed photographer, and he actually shot a really beautiful picture of Rory after he won it. So that's pretty cool to see. I'll show that on the screen for you guys so you can see it. I don't know if I have much more. There's a lot more that that we could probably cover. It's been like 2 weeks since we shot an episode. Only reason YouTube's active right now is because of the damn streams, man. It's been so fun. If you guys get a chance, pop in on that. Do me a favor. I mean, engagement on these long videos, it's a little harder to come by. So if you could just take half a second, if you liked the episode, and definitely if you've gotten this far, hit the like button. God damn it. If you feel so inclined, hit the subscribe button so you don't miss more of these. And we'll be back pretty soon. We'll be back in the next week or so, I'd say. All right. You guys be safe. You guys be easy. If you watch this far, I love you. If you don't, if you didn't, I hate you. Just kidding. I love you. Y'all be easy. This is episode 54 of the Dupree Show.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.